This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We greet and welcome you listeners, wherever you are. If you're at home on a computer, or if you're in your car, or just listening to the radio at home, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we're honored to be here with you. And we've been on 19 plus years on this radio station, and it's really an honor to be here. And we're going to raise the standard. It's our purpose to raise the standard in the body of Christ. We see all the stuff going on in our country right now. We need to raise the standard. The immorality and all the stuff that we're accepting, even the political arena now with the abortion and same-sex marriage. We could go on and on of all the abominations.
We need a change.
We need a major change.
Major change.
So we're praying that something's going to good happen this fall here. We're not too far away from the election.
Not very many days.
That's right. But we're not going to talk about the election. We want to talk about God's Word. That's the only thing that's going to change us. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And Donna's across the desk with me. And we work on this together. So I'm going to turn it over to her. She's got a couple
Thank you,
things
Lord.
That she wants to mention. And then we're going to talk about tabernacles today. Hallelujah.
Tabernacles. Yes, we are. Amen. And we're going to have an awesome, awesome service this weekend, Sunday and Saturday today. And especially Sunday, we're going to be celebrating tabernacles. We have set up a tabernacle in the congregation. Come and see this beautiful tabernacle. You can go inside of it. You can just feel the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in there, you know. And
right.
just know that this is the time, this is the season that Yeshua was born. This is the season He was born, and we're going to prove that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for not all in 1 week, but we're going to prove that to you, that this is called tabernacles. And you know, when we ask the Lord to come into our heart, He comes in tabernacles with us.
That's right, He does.
He does. He tabernacles with us. And it's such a picture of this time of tabernacles. We'll get into that in a minute, but I want to mention we're going to have an awesome time this weekend. So if you've never been to a Feast of Tabernacles, or you've never celebrated it, you need to do that. You need to bring your family, your children, your grandmas and grandpas, and just come and enjoy the presence of the Lord and know the truth of the Lord, because He has these special feasts, these special holidays or feast days, to show us His prophetic word and to show us Yeshua, to show us the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, our Messiah. And so we want to just invite you to come, amen. That's Sunday right here in Stuart, Florida, the first day of the week. And we're right on Canner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. And you can give us a phone call. I'm going to give you the phone number in just a few minutes. You can give us a phone call. We'll give you directions on how to find us. It's very easy. You could just Google it. Spirit of Prophecy in the Monterey Plaza there, right here in Stuart on Canner Highway and Monterey Road. So anyways, I'm going to give you a phone number in a minute, but I want to mention also we want to say hello to you out there. We thank you for listening, for praying for us, for blessing the ministry. And we want to say hello to those that are in other places, other states even, that listen to us, because you can listen to this radio broadcast. You can listen to Pastor Gene and myself in this Raising the Standard program every Saturday on WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com. So if you're driving and you're listening to this station, you just go find it on your phone or your tablet computer and get the app, and you can listen to the music and teaching all day, all night, 24/7. And you can also go back and listen to other teachings that we've done on the podcast. And so that's just such an extra blessing for somebody that wants to listen to it again, because you can't just get what you're going to share, Pastor Gene. You can't get it in just one teaching. Amen. You have to listen to it, and you might want to write it down. You might want to write down the scriptures, or you might want to purchase the book that he has. He has a commentary on all the feasts of the Lord, the book of Revelation, and also Daniel, and all of
Purim
the
and Hanukkah.
Purim and Hanukkah, and all these things are all in his book. It's a teaching. Some people are taking it and teaching it in other churches, or they have Bible studies with it, and the charts in the back, and you can learn so much about the feasts of the Lord, because we need to know that if we want to know about the fulfilling all the prophecies, because all the prophecies many of them are in the feasts of the Lord. So we need to know that. Amen. So I want to mention also, before I give the phone number, is we are very shortly coming up on the Bible Reading Marathon, 16th year Bible Reading Marathon here.
16 years, hard to believe.
In Stuart, Florida. It's going to start November the 11th. That's Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be starting that day at 12 o'clock noon, around that time, at 5 days, 24 hours a day, for 5 days in Stuart, Florida, reading the entire Bible from the beginning to the end without stopping. It's called a marathon. And we need many, many readers.
Hundreds
of readers. Yeah. So you please call this number I'm going to give you. Please call this number. We would be glad. We would be honored to sign you up to read. And we also need people to help. We need overseers. We need somebody who can come and stay for 3 hours.
Or more.
Amen. But, you know, if you can give God some time this time to read this Bible. You know, we're reading outside. We have the Ten Commandments there. We have the cross. We're reading towards Jerusalem. We're declaring the word of God. This is going to be right after the election. We need to be reading God's word and declaring his word, because he says his word will not return void. And we need his word in this nation. Amen. If we need to return to the Lord. So the phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And I'll give the number again at the end of the program. But please call us. Please sign up to read the Bible Marathon. We really need you.
Amen. So Amen. You can call it and reserve a time.
Yes,
we
15
ask everybody,
minutes.
We say, can you give God 15 minutes? Maybe you want to give him 30 minutes. Maybe you want to give him 45 minutes. You know?
That's right. That's right. But you don't have to read longer than 15 minutes.
That's it.
You could bring a Bible group. You could bring your family. And you could take, say you have, you bring six people. You could take an hour and a half.
That's right.
You could take an hour. You would be filling up a whole hour of time with four or six people.
That's right.
You know, you could do that. You could bring your youth group. Mm-hmm. You could bring your school. Amen. Middle school. Middle school is right across the street from where we're going to do it, at the band shelf on Ocean Boulevard in Stuart, Florida. You know, bring a group of people. Gather up some people from a nursing home. Bring them over. Maybe they only want to read 5 minutes. But, you know, we need people. We need people to come out that love God and that love his word and would be willing to spend some time there reading God's word. Amen. And praying. It's important. God's word has to be first in our life. Amen.
You know, Pastor, now I think it's in Nehemiah when the Israelites came back from the captivity. And if you read over there, you find out that they're in the land and something special happens on Tishri 1, which is trumpets.
It was at this time.
Yeah. It was at this time. There a few days after was Sukkot. We know that.
They built a pulpit, didn't they?
They built a pulpit, the first
of wood.
One. And they built a pulpit. And Nehemiah and Ezra, they got up And all the people were there. They stood on their feet. And they read the Word of God from daybreak till noon. They stood on their feet out there and they listened to them.
And the children, babies were there.
That's right. So the most important thing was that the Word was being read again. It had been laid aside for all those years. And so God was renewing something. We're starting a new beginning with them right there with the Word of God.
It's just like this year. We're starting a new year.
That's right.
It's not January. We have to go by God's calendar. God's calendar starts at Tishrei 1. That's the beginning of this year. So we need to get back on the calendar that God created.
That's right.
That He's going to fulfill all the prophecies through His calendar, not through the calendar that we have. No.
That's right.
We're in a new year right now. It's 5777. And like we said, 3 sevens. Well, we're going to preach on that one week, but not this week. We're going to be talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, because this is the last feast of the three fall feasts. This is the last one. We talked about two in the last couple of weeks. And so this one comes up at the very end of in the month of Tishrei.
Seventh one.
The seventh one that lasts. It's the seventh one. It lasts for 7 days
one. That's right.
And the last day is called Rejoicing in the Torah. Who's the Torah? Pastor Gene? Yeshua is the Torah.
That's right.
And we're going to start in the book of Leviticus, and we're going to show you how God had planned this feast to show us the prophetic end times, even not only the time when Jesus was born, but the times beyond that will happen in the last days.
It shows the millennial kingdom.
We're going to be with the Lord 7 years, 7 years of tribulation. There's your another seven.
Yeah.
Jesus was born on the first day of Tabernacles. And on the eighth day, he was circumcised.
The blood covenant
babies are circumcised. Jewish babies are circumcised on the eighth day. And that day is called Rejoicing in the Torah. And we talk about it all the time. What is the Torah? The Torah is Jesus. The Lord is the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor Gene, let's get started here in Leviticus. Because we got to go back and see how did God establish this feast, this last feast of the year.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a time called Sukkot, okay? And it comes from the word means Sukkoth. It's in the Genesis chapter 30. I wrote it down here. It's Genesis 33:17. And so it's the word Sukkot, and that's the plural of the word sukkah. And so we know that...
So we build a sukkah.
That's right.
A sukkah is like a tent, sort of.
That's right. And they kept the animals in sukkahs back in those days.
And they kept animals in sukkahs. And you know, it says also the sukkah was built in the fall. The shepherds were in the field in the fall. They weren't in the field in the winter. No, they were in the field in the fall.
That's right.
And so here they built this sukkah. And what did they do? They put in there. They had fruit in there. If somebody builds a sukkah now, like in Israel right now, on the many, many, many of the balconies.
And they'll be doing it.
They already built this there. Yep. They already have. Because we're in that time right now. Mm-hmm. We're already in that time.
They sleep in there and they eat in there.
They sleep in there. They'll eat in there. They'll go in there and read. Maybe they might not stay in there the whole time, but it's a picture of the kingdom. It's a picture of the goodness of God. They have all this beautiful
fruit.
The supply of God. God is plenty. And, you know, and it reminds them of when they were in the tabernacle in the wilderness.
That's right.
Because they traveled. You know, they traveled. And they didn't have a home built of bricks and blocks or whatever.
They
lived in these tents, and
God
they moved.
Took care of them. Yeah.
And so this tabernacle is, we're tabernacling with God. It's a picture of tabernacling with God. So when we tabernacle with God during those 7 years, which is these 7 days represent, where will we be? In heaven. In heaven. So what it is, it's like I want to call it a performance or an act or a...
A rehearsal.
Rehearsal. That's the best
word. It's a rehearsal every year.
It's like a rehearsal.
That's right.
And it's a reminder of God's goodness and how He has prepared a place for us to tabernacle with Him in heaven. Jesus said what? He was going to go back to the Father, and He would prepare a place for us. So tabernacles is a very important time, and I say it's the last feast, but it's really because now we're in the new year. We really had Rosh Hashanah, we had Day of Atonement, and then Tabernacles. So it depends on how you're going to count it. You know, from the starting the new year, it would be the third. And part of it's already been fulfilled, but not all of it.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Now John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word," this is Yeshua,
"the Word
was made flesh,"
that's right,
"and dwelt among us." We could say he tabernacled among us.
Okay. Yes.
"And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So he did. He came and he tabernacled, and he was born at tabernacles.
So when
he
came,
tabernacled among his people.
So when he came to this earth, the first place he did was he tabernacled.
That's right.
In that sukkah. And the, right there, what, you know, there was no place in the inn, they say, right?
There's all the people
but
there.
People, but people came from all around.
All over the
all
world.
Around, because they had to come during three of the high holy days. And this
That's
is
it.
A high holy day. So there was no place in the inn. So what did he do? They tabernacled. They tabernacled.
They stayed in a sukkah.
In a sukkah.
That's right. An animal shelter, basically, is what it was. And he was laid in a manger. And all these things we see amazing. What was a manger? In the Hebrew, it means it was a feeding trough.
Sometimes some people...
He's the manna that came down.
Right. Some people say it wasn't called a manger, it was called something else. But, you know, he was laid in something. And, you know, Mary beheld him. And what, the shepherds came. The
yeah.
angels sang. I mean, there was so much that went on at that time. You know, you think about it, you know, how the Lord expressed all that joy.
That's right.
All that joy. Amen.
King James calls it a manger.
A manger.
So I'm going to go with that. That's the Bible that we read out of.
Okay, we'll go with that. Amen.
Let's go over now, if you're at home, and you can open up a Bible. You know, I might mention one thing. I had somebody about 3 weeks ago someplace. I met somebody that listens to our program all the time, and they said, "You know, you don't ever tell on the radio who you are or who your wife is." So I just wanted to, we're pastors, Gene and Donna Hilton. God called us 23 plus years ago to start a church by the name of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so this is what this church is being sponsored by, is by the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries Church. And so now you know our name.
And we have services here in Stuart,
right.
Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m.,
yeah.
Saturday at 4 o'clock, and mm-hmm. then we have a meal after that, and then we close out the Sabbath. On Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come together on the first day of the week. And we worship God. It says worship God, for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua
mm-hmm.
is the spirit of prophecy.
That's
and
what
that's
it says.
The name that the Lord prophetically gave Pastor Gene for the name of the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy. We're an end time church. We're in the last days. We need mm-hmm. to know these things.
He gave
so
me that name, yeah.
He gave him that name, Spirit of Prophecy.
And that
prophecy.
Was in October of 1992, and then we started the church in January of 93. So I would never change that name. It was
Amen.
It came by the Spirit, and we'll hold on. It's funny, when we first had that name, after we mentioned it, I thought, I said, "Well, Lord, that's like a cult." And he said, he told me where to go, Revelation 19:10. And there it was. And so
there it was.
So he gave us the name. And there's a reason for it, because it says over there what? Worship God for the testimony, or you can say the word of Yeshua is what? The spirit of prophecy. That spirit is a small s. It means our human spirit will declare the things that God shows us through his word and what Jesus did for all of us.
Amen. And we can prophesy. So, you know, come this afternoon and you'll learn some more.
That's right. 4 o'clock
this afternoon, you'll learn some more about this wonderful place called the tabernacle.
So let's go to Leviticus 23, and let's read what it says in the Bible about this. And we have to look at the Bible tells us we're going to know the end from what? Not from the end, but the end from the beginning. So we go back to the beginning. So I'm taking you to Leviticus 23. I'm going to start reading in verse 33. And this is about tabernacles. So listen to it closely. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month." Now, if you don't know your Jewish calendar, well, then you got a problem. The seventh month on the Jewish prophetic calendar is none other than what? Tishri. It's the month of Tishri. Okay. "The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, and it says it's going to last for 7 days unto the Lord." So these 7 days is a prophetic window and a picture of us to understand about the kingdom of God that's going to come and be established. Now verse 35 says, "On the first day shall be a holy convocation." What's that mean? It's going to be a high Sabbath. It's a time you don't do any work. You know, there's weekly Sabbaths in Judaism, but also there's also seven high Sabbaths that all revolve around God's appointed time. So this is one of them. He says, you shall do no servile work therein. They were not to work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. It's a moedim, a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So the eighth day, we told you, in Hebrew, it's Simchat Torah. It means rejoicing in the Torah. And Don already mentioned it. Yeshua has the Torah. Verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. So these convocations or moedims are set times that God looks at and wants the Jewish people, and now we should understand and be a part of it, embrace it. Every year as we go around this, he's a cyclic God going around these 12 months, and we can see what he puts in place. And so these were basically, like Donna said earlier, they're a rehearsal. They rehearsed these things. And so like, you know, when they came out of Egypt and what happened there, and Yeshua fulfilled all of that. So about 1,500 years in the future, the real thing happened. Yeshua came. So what did they do? They rehearsed it every year for 1,500 years. They must have had it down pretty pat, Pastor Don.
Amen, amen.
Now, verse 38 in this chapter.
Yeah, it says here, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord. Those are the days, every 7 days.
That's
this
right.
Is Sabbath on the seventh day.
Yeah.
That would be Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, which ye have gathered. When you have gathered in the fruit, this is why we have fruit of the land. This is when all the fall, you know, the apples and all those things come into harvest. Ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days, 7 days. On the first day, that's going to be a Sabbath. And on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath.
So it shows you right here about the high Sabbaths, okay?
The high Sabbaths. And that eighth day is called rejoicing in
the Torah.
The Torah.
And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days, huh?
So when we'll have on our sukkah, we have palm fronds.
And fruit hanging off.
And you know, different kinds of branches from trees.
Mm-hmm. And then he says in verse 41, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days. He keeps talking about
seven days. Another seven.
In the year. It shall be a statute. Listen to this. A statute forever in your generation. So I tell people, we're going to be honoring these things in the kingdom of God. So wouldn't you like to know more about this now? So when you get there, you won't be surprised.
We need to remember. And you know, these are not things that people say, oh, that's Jewish. Well, that's for the Hebrew. Well, you know, if you will read this carefully and look closely, you don't see the word Hebrew or Jew in it anywhere.
Nope.
You will only see the word Lord. And who is the Lord?
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
The Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty. So these are the feasts of the Lord. So it's not just a feast for only Israel. Right, it's for
we
those
should all
who
embrace
call.
Him.
We can embrace that.
That's right.
We've been joined in. We've been
grafted in.
We're connected. We should be connected. We should be connected to Israel. We should be connected to Israel to pray for them. We should be connected into this holy book, the Torah. We should get connected into reading the Torah portions. Now is the time to start reading the Torah portions. What are the Torah portions, you'd say, Pastor Donna? They're the first five books of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Excuse me.
Go ahead. I have copies of that. If anybody wants those Torah portions, scriptures, that you would read it in a whole year, you will finish it. You will read all of that, and you will learn and glean from it, and you'll learn. You'll see so much of Jesus in it.
He's everywhere.
Everywhere.
His signature's on every page.
Amen.
All right. So we read this. I'm going to read 41 again. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. He's telling you the month of Tishri.
Tishri.
Ye shall dwell in booths, 7 days, all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. So they went and lived in a booth.
Yes, they did.
For 7 days. Everything was in their life. It's a picture of God meeting all their needs when they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. He took their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had manna coming down every day. He took care
That's
of
right.
them. Now, verse 43, he says that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell, there it means to tabernacle, what? In booths.
Or sukkahs.
Yeah, or sukkahs. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord, and so on. So that's the beginnings of it, why God
put
it in place. And Deuteronomy mentions about the Feast of Tabernacles also. And it all.
And where does it talk about rejoicing in the Torah? That is, I'm not sure where that's at.
That's in Luke. That's in the New Testament. We might as well go over there.
Okay.
We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. I'm turning my pages here.
It is the Torah.
I probably should have stuck some papers in here so I wouldn't take enough.
I'm already there.
All right. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Pastor John, if you want to read it.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's do this.
Well, we know they all went to be taxed. They had to go to their own city, right?
Yeah.
Joseph and Mary, they went also. They went to Bethlehem. Because they had to be got, they were from the lineage of David, and that's so awesome there, just knowing that. And so they all had to go, and they had to do this and go to be taxed, right? Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Well, you know what swaddling clothes are? Swaddling clothes are the garments, the undergarments of the priests. They tore them in strips. Wasn't Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes when he was buried? So here we have a thing that these were not things that were thrown away. They were holy garments. See, those garments are holy. They're made of linen. They're white. They're pure. Those are the garments the priests had to put on when they went into do the work in the
temple.
In the temple
for their service
and the sacrificing.
That's right.
and the animals and you know Aaron had to go in there. I mean, even on the Day of Atonement, which we talked about. These swaddling clothes are pieces of material. These swaddling clothes were also used to put on the top, which happened at the very same time. They had four bright, bright lights. It looked like they were like, say you were going to make a square.
Big candelabra.
Big square.
Yeah.
75 feet high, if you could see that.
In the corner
and
of the
one in each corner, okay, of a square. And in the top were these swaddling clothes that wrapped up there, and they soaked them in oil. And they had the younger priests.
The boys that were going to be priests.
Yeah, that they had to be of the tribe of the priesthood.
Right.
And
Levi.
So the Levi. So they would go up there and they would take care of that.
Make sure the oil.
The
kept
oil.
Coming.
Make sure there's oil there, and because it was a continually burning. And so these lights in Jerusalem at the temple, they could be seen from Bethlehem.
Yep.
These lights could be seen from all around Israel. As far as the eye could see, these lights could be seen 75 feet high. You know, that's very high. And so that they were very bright, and they were light. Oil and fire was flaming up. You know, we close out our Sabbath on Saturdays, and we light a candle that has 9 wicks in it. It's a braided candle. And I want to tell you, the flame from that little candle must go 6 to 8 inches high.
Yeah.
So you imagine what that one would be that would be 75 feet high in this great big bowl. It tells you exactly how they're made. And with this oil, the flames could have gone, who knows, 20 feet in the air. I don't know. But they were seen all around. So this swaddling clothes was very, it wasn't just something because, you know, they got blood on them when they were in there doing the work and sacrificing these animals. So when they took them off and this they put on clean or they washed them, they didn't take them and throw them away. They were used for babies. They were used for burial. They were used for many things, for candle wicks. So here we have these swaddling clothes. He was wrapped in these swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds. Now we have shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we don't have time to go into all of the details unless Pastor Gene wants to get into that. We may do it next week. But this didn't happen at December. It happened at this time of the year, in the month of Tishri.
That happened.
Jesus was born at that time. Amen. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now here's an angel, a visitation. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. So you know what? We're going to be singing songs about that you would sing. We're going to be singing some songs in church on Sunday that you would sing at what we call, what people call Christmas time. But Jesus wasn't born at Christmas time. He was conceived at Christmas time. And that was at another time we'll talk about at another time in December. So, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of God shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, that word behold is the letter hey. In other words, pay attention. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. They knew what swaddling clothes were all about. The Jewish people knew. They knew. Lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. That's a song. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. See what God did? He revealed this to them. He revealed his glory. The angels came, and they came with haste. They wanted to get there in a hurry. They were excited. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told them, Shema. Shema means to hear. Shema, Shema, Shema. Hear, hear, hear. Listen, listen, listen. This is what I saw. This is what happened. The angels came, and we went, and we saw the child. They told the people. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things, or those sayings, those rhema words. See, those were living words. Those were rhema words.
That's right.
Which were told them by the shepherds. Mm-hmm. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, we remember that Mary had a visitation from an angel, Gabriel, and he told her.
She was going to conceive.
What was going to happen.
That's right.
So she knew. She had revelation knowledge of what who she had in her arms, who she fed at her breast.
Amen.
God became man, and he came and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled with
among us.
He is the Torah.
Now, thinking about these big lights that Donna talked about,
wow,
these great lights, it was set up in the court of the women. If you read it, there's a Jewish writing called the Mishnah. It says in Sukkah 5:3, says this, that there was no courtyard in Jerusalem that was not lit with the light of the libation water pouring ceremony and with the lights in the court of the women. Isn't it amazing? It went all through Jerusalem. That's how powerful it was.
I want to read another couple more verses. And the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God. See, we should be praising God at this time. It's all time to praise him for the miracle that he did, that was a miracle for all the things that they had heard and seen. Not only did they hear, but they saw with their eye, as it was told unto them. Now we go to the eighth day. This eighth day is called rejoicing in the Torah.
On verse 21.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. So there it tells you right there. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
His name was called Yeshua, Jesus,
mm-hmm,
or Jesus, mm-hmm, it says. So that's when he was his name.
He was named from the angel.
His name was called Yeshua.
The angel named
him. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived.
Even conceived. Yeah.
His name means what? Salvation. And that's in the Old Testament. Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So then it talks about other things, purification and all that. And they had a visitation. They went to see two prophets in Israel. Mm-hmm. But this all happened at this time of the year. This all happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. Yeshua was born on the first day, and he was circumcised on the eighth day. And that eighth day means rejoicing in the Torah.
That's right. So I was thinking about this before we came on. There's different themes and idioms that the Jewish people use, and a lot of them are in the Word of God. And some of them are not, but it's in their writings. We don't have to mention it, all that. And I've got six listed here that are very important. Thought we might give these to you, and you could write down the verses, and you could look them up for yourself. The first one is called the season of our joy. Now, we just read that. It's in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Donna just read that. It's also called the festival of ingathering. This is an interesting one. We might turn that over and read that, Pastor Donna. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to read that. The festival of ingathering, and that's in Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 17. Go over to Exodus 23. And I want you to read those three verses. It's called the Festival of Ingathering. This is very important about tabernacles.
Thank you, Lord.
You'll see prophetically what God's trying to tell us.
What
right
verse,
here.
Honey?
Starting in verse 14 and read through 17. 14 through 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
14.
Okay, 14. Yes.
Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, that's Passover,
mm-hmm.
at Passover time. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, here's 7 days again, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Okay, 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering,
there you go.
Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, that's now, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field.
So it's
three
a picture,
times.
It's a picture of all the people coming into the kingdom of God at the end when the kingdom will be established.
Three times a year,
that's right.
All the males shall appear before the Lord.
That's
God.
Why when Yeshua was born, all the males had to be there. That's why the inns were full. And so he was taken to a manger, and there was a reason for it prophetically, we know. Now, the third thing here about these themes and idioms, it's called the Feast of the Nations. And that's revealed in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, because all the nations were required to come up to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they did not come, you know what happened? It did not rain on their land. And another place you can look at this is Numbers chapter 29, verses 12 through 35. That's number three on the list. The fourth thing on the list is called the Festival of Dedication, 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 11. This is when Solomon dedicated the temple that God gave the instructions to David, and Solomon built that temple. It was dedicated during the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. Now the fifth thing.
It's also called Simchat Torah.
That's right. This fifth thing is called the Festival of the Water Pouring. That's revealed in John chapter 7. Verses 37 through 39. It was the prophetic word about the Holy Ghost coming in power and authority. And in the sixth thing, it's called the Festival of Lights, and that's in John 8:12, because Yeshua said what? I am the light of the world. So now that we're walking with him, we're mm-hmm. already the light of the world, aren't we? So it's interesting we think about this. Amen?
And you know, Simchat Torah is that the same holiday. It's set aside to celebrate the completion of the Torah, the reading cycles of the Torah.
That's right.
But Yeshua is Simchat Torah. He's the completion of...
all of it.
All of it, from
the
beginning to the end, from the Alpha to the Omega, from the Aleph to the Tav.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Hebrew letters, Aleph and Tav, being the first and the last.
That's
he's
right.
the beginning and the end. So he is our Simchat Torah.
Sure
he is.
Is
a rejoicing in the Torah, because he is the Torah.
That's right. And so, historically with Judaism, the Jews, they wanted to keep God's commandments, and his appointed festivals was a great cause for joy and excitement. They look forward to it. We should do the same thing. We're looking forward to the tabernacle we're going to have this weekend. Amen. And so the rejoicing of Sukkot is seen in these quotes from the Mishnah. Listen to this right from the Mishnah. Devout men of good deeds would dance before them with the flaming torches that were in their hands, and would utter before them words of songs and praise, and the Levites with harps, lyres, cymbals, trumpets, and the countless musical instruments stood on the 15 steps that descended from the court of the Israelites to the court of the women. Isn't that amazing? This is all done at tabernacles.
Amen.
What an exciting time. And this is all that was revealed also in Sukkah in the Mishnah 5:4. And in Sukkah 5:1, it was said in this same writing, whoever did not see the rejoicing of the house of the water pouring never saw rejoicing in his life.
That's something else they do is the water pouring,
that's
Pastor
right.
Gene, which we haven't spoken about
that's
yet.
Right.
In Deuteronomy 16:15, it says, 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord
mm-hmm.
thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless
thank you,
thee
Lord.
In all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice.
That's right.
Rejoice. And again I say rejoice.
That's right. Rejoice,
thank you, Lord.
Rejoice.
So tell me a little bit about the water pouring, Pastor Gene.
Well, that's an interesting thing, thinking about the water pouring.
There's so much they do during this time.
Oh, it's amazing what they do, and they do it every single day.
And Yeshua is a picture of what? The lights that they're going to be, the four
right.
lights,
uh-huh.
which represent the four
mm-hmm.
corners of the earth, the four corners of the world,
that's right? That's right.
That they would go out from Jerusalem. He went out. They all went out from Jerusalem to where? Jesus told them, in Jerusalem and, you know, and in Judea. And you're going to end up where? In the uttermost parts of the world. This light of mine, he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's the light. He says, I'm the light. Would you read in John 1:1, right? He's the light. And first chapter of John talks about the light. And so here this light's going out from the fourth corner of the world, right?
He's the light of the world. Yeah.
Right. And here we are. Here we have this water pouring. What's going to happen here with this water pouring?
Well, we'll talk about that. It's important. It's another symbol. We know, we talked about this before, all the appointed times that come, especially tabernacles, all the priests had and the leaders, they had to look up all the scriptures regarding anything about water. And they knew the water was a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. So there was a ceremony that they did. We don't have it in our Bible, but we have a clue a little bit about it over in John chapter 7. And we talked about that a moment ago, just a little bit. But anyway, this ceremony was known as the House of the Water Pouring. And it was conducted daily during the festival, at the time of the special Sukkot offerings. The priest assigned to perform this function set about slaughtering the sacrifices. So there's a group to take care of the animals and the sacrifices. A second group of priests were sent out of the eastern gate. What gate is that? The eastern gate. This is the gate Yeshua is going to come back in at the end. And they went from the temple to the valley of Matzah. We eat matzah, don't we? And unleavened bread. There they cut willow tree branches at least 25 feet in length. The priests then aligned themselves shoulder to shoulder, like in a military march.
Amen.
In several rows, approximately 30 feet apart, these big willow branches. At a signal, they each stepped forward on the right foot, swinging the willow branches to the left in unison. And it made a noise. Whoosh! Whoosh, yes.
Whoosh.
As they stepped forward on the left foot.
They were big, too.
Yeah, the willows were swung to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward Jerusalem. The waving of the willow branches produced the effect of a rushing wind,
mm-hmm.
picture of the Spirit approaching the temple. Now, meanwhile, the high priest that was sent out and his assistant had left the temple from the water gate, went to the pool of Siloam. Do you know, remember what the Bible says the word Siloam means? It means sent. They were sent. They were sent
Amen.
There and retrieved a vase of water known as living water. This water was placed into a golden vessel, royalty, while the assistant priest held a silver vessel full of wine. Silver is a picture of what? Salvation, redemption. As the priest in the Valley of Matzah started back to the temple, so did the group from the Pool of Siloam. As each party of priests approached their respective gates, a shofar was blown, and then a single flute began to play. The priests with the sacrifices ascended the altar, placing the animals on the fire. These priests with the willow branches circled the altar 7 times. They walked around the altar, and then they laid their willows against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah up over the altar. So it must have been real, you know, those branches were so high, so they were way above the fire, you know.
Well, it must have been 10, 12,
yeah,
15
at least,
feet
yeah,
tall.
Or maybe higher.
Long.
Then the high priest and his assistant also ascended the altar, pouring out the water. And the wine. As this was done, the people sang an incredible verse in Isaiah 12:3, where it says, therefore, with joy, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Whose salvation? His name is Yeshua. Hallelujah.
And I'm reminded of a scripture too that said at that time, you know, it's in that Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. Well, the word Nagala, I believe I am saying it right, is an N-A-G-I-L-A-H. It means let us rejoice. And the root word is gil, G-I-L. That means a circle, to dance, mm-hmm. you know, to dance, to rejoice, to be glad.
That's right.
What? Amen. Because what? Your Yeshua has come.
Sure has.
Your Yeshua is here. He's tabernacling amongst
That's right.
us. And so to know this, that, you know, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us.
That's right. Or
born of virgin.
That's right.
Conceived of the Holy Ghost.
Let's go over and read John chapter 7 now, honey. We've read this a lot on this program over the years. It's about the baptism of the Holy Ghost was going to come after Yeshua died and rose from the grave.
Well,
so we're
going to
read John. We're going to read John 7:37-39.
Thank you, Father
and
God.
We'll talk about a couple
Thank you,
things
Lord.
Here.
So this is really good. I know we're going fast because we want to get a lot in. But you know, come this afternoon. You'll learn some more, and you know, come on Sunday. And what's chapter did you say?
Chapter 7. If you want to find out more,
this
book I wrote called the prophetic calendar. And the pictures of the Messiah is revealed
Amen.
In God's appointed times is available to you for $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get it out to you, and you can have more to read.
What do you want me to read?
I want to read verses 37-39 in John 7.
37?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the last day, that great day of the feast.
So what day is that? If you go back to the beginning of chapter 7, it tells you it was the Feast of Tabernacles was in place, wasn't it?
That's the great day of the feast.
That's right.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst.
Who?
He did this on that day.
That's right.
That was actually the reading for that day, you know. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's this living water. Living water is not stagnant. Living water has to be moving. It has to be water that is moving. That's why when the Holy Ghost comes, it comes in our belly. You know, and when and the Bible says Timothy was told to stir up the gift that was in him.
Hallelujah.
By how? By praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? You open your mouth and you let the river of God
flow out.
And as the river of God flows out of you, you know, it's a baptism. It's not being baptized into water like when you get saved, you get baptized into water unto repentance. No. It's a baptism into power to receive the power. Jesus said the power. It talks about it in Acts. The power of the Lord will come upon you. And you'll have that indwelling Holy Ghost within you, which when you can pray in the Spirit. See, it says in Corinthians, how are we going to pray? You pray in the Spirit. You pray in the understanding. You sing in the Spirit. You sing in the understanding. It's a lot of things that the church just doesn't understand because they don't understand the things of the Spirit. And you can't understand the things of the Spirit until you receive the things of the Spirit. And He wants to pour out His Spirit. He wants to pour out that living water on all flesh. He says in the last days, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Well, everyone can hear the voice of the Lord, or you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be listening to us right now. So everyone can hear. You have to exercise spiritual things.
Right.
You exercise your muscles. Well, spiritual things must be exercised as well.
Absolutely.
And as you exercise your spiritual gifts are given. You don't earn a gift. It's given. Amen. Fruit is grown. The fruit of the Spirit is grown. We change. We become more and more like Jesus. Amen. But gifts are given. They're given without any free gifts.
That's right.
But so many people don't know their gift in the body of Christ, and they don't know that they can prophesy. They don't know that they can stir up that gift that's within them. And what do you do when you're stirring up that gift that's within you? You're bringing forth more. You're
Amen.
Stirring up the anointing, really. You're stirring up the power, and you're bringing forth the things that God wants to bring out. Because, you know, if we can't hear from the Spirit, we're not going to be able to do the things God's called us to do.
That's right. Now I'm thinking about something else here, Pastor Donovan. We might go down a bunny trail here, but that's all right. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thinking about John chapter 4 over here. Let me get my pages to turn in my Bible.
Awesome. Thank
like
you,
I
Jesus.
Say, I should have,
rivers of living water.
I should have marked
water.
This, but I didn't. Rivers.
And that's when also Jesus talked about the light. He says, I'm the light of the world.
That's
here
right.
We have these four lights in this in the court of the women. Mm-hmm. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness,
that's
but
right.
shall have the light of life. They're going to have the light of life.
So what I was thinking about here, in John 7, where Donna read, it says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The belly, if you look at it with the Greek and even the Hebrew, is a metaphor, a picture of a woman that's pregnant. And just before the baby comes, her water breaks and it goes, whoosh, just comes right out. But if we look in chapter 4 of John, he meets this woman at the well, and he told
uh-huh.
her in verse 9 of chapter 4, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God,
that's
and
right.
who it is that
gift.
Saith to thee, here it's a gift.
Give me to drink.
Wouldest thou have asked of him, and he would have given thee living
water.
So it's like a well that came out. And so they, first of all, as it says in John 7:39, and 37 through 39, if any man thirst, let him come, he has to come first
Amen.
Unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, after he believeth, what? Out of his belly, there's something subsequent, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So she had a little well that came out.
This woman had a divine appointment.
She sure
at
did.
The well.
That's right, she did.
She had an appointment at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't, she was a Samaritan.
That's right.
So this shows you that he said he's going to pour out his water on what? All flesh.
All
of us can prophesy. We can all receive. You don't have to be a certain religion. You don't have to be a certain way. She hadn't even been born again yet.
Nope.
But she heard the word. And she received the word, and he says, if you would ask,
you shall
if you
receive.
Would just ask.
That's right.
See, how do you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
You ask.
You just ask.
It's a
gift. He says it's a gift from God.
That's it.
Jesus said that he had to go. See, the disciples wanted him to stay there, right? He says, no, I have to go back to the Father, and the Father and I will send the Holy Ghost. And so that's what, so when he sent the Holy Ghost, remember they had to wait in that upper room.
That's right.
For a certain amount of days.
Mm-hmm.
They had to wait. And when they waited and they were all in one accord on that right day, it had to be on that day of Pentecost. See, they
That's
had
right.
to wait until that day of Pentecost. And all those Jewish people knew that it was Pentecost. They knew all about Pentecost. They knew how Pentecost started. They taught their children about it every single year. They knew all about it. And so they knew that they were close to that day of Pentecost. So they stayed in that room. And you know, that door was shut.
That's
that
right.
door was locked. They stayed in that Holy Ghost, that room, and the Holy Ghost came in, and he the light, the fire of God hit them, and they began to speak in other tongues as
Amen.
The Spirit of God
gave
fell
them
upon them.
That's right.
And so that's when they received the power, because they were all going to go back to their fishing.
That's it.
They were all going to go back and do what they were doing before.
They were confused,
but once
they?
The power, once that was infused
that
in
dynamo
them.
Came, hallelujah.
Shunda. They were stirred in their spirit, and they went out and they did all of these awesome things for Jesus, for the gospel. God knew. He picked those men. You know, there wasn't just 12 men in that upper room. There were about 120, it says.
Yeah.
And they weren't all men. There was women in there as well. God
the mother
gonna,
of Jesus was there.
God
yeah.
is going to pour out his flesh on all flesh, men and women, children. And we can all go out and we can all do the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. Gifts are given. Fruit is grown. We need to remember that. Amen?
That's right. So I'm thinking about, we read verse 37 and 38 in John chapter 7. 39 says this, about he talked about the rivers of living water.
Uh-huh.
39 says, but this spake he, this is Yeshua, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given
That's
because
it.
That Jesus was not yet glorified. So he spake, this he spake of what? The Spirit.
The Spirit. The Holy Ghost. The
and
Spirit.
And when we get the baptism, what do? We speak in a language we don't know as the Spirit of God gives us the utterance.
That's it.
And so this was all revealed in Tabernacles.
And you know, it's a gift. And I could give you a testimony about my life. You know, I went to church when I was a kid, and I went into a church that they didn't speak in tongues, and they didn't even play music
musical
in that church
yeah.
that I was baptized in.
Yeah.
But I learned about God, learned about the Word of God. But when I got older, I wanted more. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday, Lord willing. You can listen to us on the internet, WCNO.com. I want you to remember the Bible Reading Marathon, November the 11th on Veterans Day. Please give us a call. We need readers.
Mm-hmm.
And also, please come visit us sometime. Give us a call.
Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow, today, anyway.
See the tabernacle.
See the tabernacle. You're going to love the tabernacle. You can go in the tabernacle. You can go in there and spend some time with the Lord. So I just want to give the phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we're honored to be here with you today, as we are every week at this time, from 12 noon to 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're here. The purpose that God wants us to have is to
raise the standard
in the body of Christ. And also, we need to bind any kind of doubt and unbelief that what we just read in the Bible is we need to bind the thought that it's not active today. Jesus does not give us something and take it away.
And if people want that river, they should come. We'll pray over them. They'll get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they'll leave there speaking in tongues.
Show some love.
Hallelujah.
That's right. So that's what it's all about. So where we are, we want to raise the standard in the body of Christ that we can believe this book that we read out of from the very beginning to the end. All the words are important. And so we love you. We trust that you'll continue to listen to the program every week. And if you'd like to give us an offering, all we ask for is you to make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail it to Post Office Box 413 in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be able to put to good use, because the kingdom of God is marching on, and it takes finances to do that. And so we would be honored if you would think about that and pray about it, and you do what the Lord tells you to do.
Amen.
And then you will be blessed, and so will this ministry as well. So as we said, we're honored to be here with you. And we're getting ready to close out here, and I get kind
of
choked up sometimes.
You know, this time of year, they brought gifts, too.
That's right.
We read about that earlier. Yeah. They brought gifts from this time of year.
So you get kind of choked up thinking about these appointed times, and we're almost through the last three. And these are the ones of the future event, and when Yeshua is going to come back. And so we got to keep our eyes focused on Him. And if we do, then we're going to be a success in whatever we do.
Amen.
So as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor John?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.